Does Jesus tell Judas that he will teach him or show him the mysteries of the universe?
He not only tells him this, but in fact he reveals to him the mysteries of the universe throughout this text. It's incredible. He really lays out the entire Gnostic idea of this Big Bang, as I call it, in the beginning, and the emanation of the divine fullness through a series of, call them divine beings. The Gnostics call them aeons, and that terminology appears in oodles of ancient texts. We already know about the way they thought, but the same exact terminology now appears in this new Gospel of Judas. The aeons, a series of, you can think of them as angels, but let's call them divine emanations, emanations from the Almighty. And Jesus is revealing even the names of these aeons to Judas, and only to Judas. And by the way, we know from other Gnostic texts that one of these aeons became Adam.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Well, take us through this portion. I find this to be very fascinating, Ken. Take us through the portion, basically, where he talks about the Big Bang and how things evolve, these mysteries of the universe.
Yeah, it's incredible to see how the ancient cosmology, in some ways, dovetails with modern astrophysics. It's almost spooky to go there in scholarship, because we're supposed to stay away from that kind of those kind of goosebump conclusions. But it really is amazing that the divine, rather than sitting up on a throne with a long beard and deciding what to create, it didn't happen that way. There was an emanation of the divine, not a direct creation, but God emanates into everything. And that's this series of aeons who together form what is called the Pleroma. The Pleroma is the divine fullness. And some of these concepts dovetail with ancient Jewish mysticism, with what we find in the Dead Sea Scrolls, with the entire discipline we call Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, that speaks of the same idea, uses different terminology, of course, but the idea of emanation is there. Emanating into everything. And then together, if we can somehow even reconstruct the pieces of the divine fullness, we can form the Pleroma again and bring about what we can call a real salvation at the end of the age.
Does he talk about extraterrestrial life, Ken, that there are beings on other planets in the universe?
He talks about other beings. Now, at that point, again, as scholars, we have to hedge, and we have to say, you have the permission to go there, which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You definitely sure have the permission to go there, because we have extraterrestrial beings all over the place, and in this text as well.
What does he say there? Are you able to break that down for us?
There are so many things up there. The various spirits he's talking about, those whose spirits did not dare to stand before God, but only Judas did. He did have the chutzpah, as we call it, to stand before. And then these secrets are revealed. There's a vision of a divine temple. There is an interpretation of that vision. Cosmology. Let me get to the point about cosmology here.
This is the good stuff.
And I've got the text in front of me. There exists a great and boundless realm whose extent no generation of angels has seen, in which there is a great invisible spirit which no eye of an angel has ever seen, no thought of the heart has ever comprehended. And then we get to more of this, which dovetails with the idea of the Gnostics. But here's what it says: a great angel, the enlightened, divine, self-generated, emerged from the cloud. Now that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, sounds like a craft.
Well, I can't say that as a scholar, but I give you permission, George.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Because of him, four other angels came into being from another cloud. and they became attendants for the angelic self-generated. The self-generated said, let come into being, and then we've got the text is mangled at that point. We can't read it. Something about coming into being. And it says, and he created the first luminary to reign over him, something luminous to reign over him. And these are all the secrets now that Jesus is revealing to Judas only. Let an enlightened aeon, there's the term I was talking about.
Right.
Let an enlightened aeon come into being, and he came into being. He created the second luminary to reign over him, together with myriads of angels without number to offer sacrifice. That is how he created the rest of the enlightened aeons. He made them to reign over them, and he created them, myriads without number, to assist them.
Does he talk about the fallen angels at all, about Lucifer, Satan?
Not in this particular text. He names specific angels. He gives them names. One is called Adamas, and it's hauntingly similar to the Hebrew word Adama, which means earth. So, again, the text is so sparse in what it tells us and also what it doesn't tell us. Could this be some reference to the angels who fell? Now, the Gnostics did have a very well-developed, let's call it folklore, about angelic beings who came to the earth, who cohabited with earth women and spawned a race of half-breeds,
right,
of giants.